You're listening to Radio Dharma, presented by Hindu University of America. I'm your host, Shilpa Agarwal, fiction author and faculty at HUA. Modern life can feel uncertain. Sanatana Dharma shines a light on the eternal truths that lead to inner transformation, fulfillment, and joy. Tune in to your highest frequency every week on Radio Dharma. Welcome back, everyone. I'm here today with Savita Nanjangud, who is a psychotherapist. She completed her master's degree in counseling psychology from Santa Clara University and is currently practicing as an associate marriage and family therapist. We are talking about bringing Dharma into psychotherapy. Savita, can you give me a case study? Let's start with a case study of working with Dharma explicitly, because that seems to be easier because you're kind of on the same page with your client in that case. So can you give me an example of working with someone and how what you've seen in terms of that?
Right. Yeah. So I want to also frame, like, when I say Dharma, I'm talking about, within an explicit sense, I'm talking about working with Hindu clients specifically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't have much experience working with Sikh or, Buddhist clients. So with the Hindu clients, they are familiar with, the concepts of karma yoga, for instance, mm-hmm. or bhakti yoga. And usually they have some connection with some Ishta Devata. They have their own daily practice. And, they have some understanding of karma yoga. But what happens is that sometimes there can be some... Either there's obstacles in their practice of karma yoga, or there may be some kind of adjustments needed in their understanding of karma yoga so that they can be applied effectively. So I don't bring this up immediately. Like I first work with them to understand, I listen to what it is that they're bringing in, in the initial assessment sessions. Try to understand what is the problem statements, like what are the issues that they are struggling with. I try to get an understanding of how do they engage with spirituality. What is their understanding of these concepts,
mm-hmm.
and how are they applying it, and what are the obstacles that they're facing in applying it. So with one client, it's basically this principle of karma yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Is an example we can take, where she's trying to apply it in her job. She's struggling in her job, with her boss. She's having issues with her boss and her colleagues. And she's coming into the job and she's trying to do her best, but she's not getting the recognition.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she may say something like, I don't really need that recognition. But then some other time, she's trying to process, that her frustrations.
That's right.
So
the idea of doing your work and being detached, but also feeling like you're being unseen, and how do you negotiate that? Yeah.
Yes.
That's very powerful.
So there it's a question of really bringing to her awareness that, look, you do need the recognition.
Mm.
So there's a concept of satya there. Can we stay in our truth? Can we be authentic to our truth in the moment that say, yes, I am human. I do need them to recognize me. I do need the acknowledgement. I do need the feedback. But at the same time, it's like, how do I give that to myself so that I am not craving it from somebody else?
Can I
give that recognition to myself? Can I feel satisfied that, yes, I have done my best in this situation? And then looking at what are the obstacles in that self-talk? Like, am I able to, is there something that's preventing me from acknowledging to myself I'm doing my best? Is there some kind of like an imposter syndrome playing mm-hmm. out mm-hmm. over there? And then where does that come from? So then there's this, that's where the psychotherapy work comes in, of looking at childhood experiences and looking at some older emotional burdens that have not been processed, that are coming up as obstacles. And mm-hmm. I follow, and I try to follow a system called internal family systems. I'm not fully trained in it, but I've done enough reading and I have personal experience with it in my own therapy. So I try to bring that, which is basically involves parts work, you know, looking at, you know, do we have self-critical parts? Do we have parts that are protecting some wounded parts? And how do we engage with those wounded parts? And how do we create safety by working with the protective parts to create safety to then be able to approach the wounded parts and hear them? And some of this also involves the somatic aspects of getting into where do you feel it in your body? You know, where do you feel tightness in your shoulders, in your mm-hmm. gut? And then allowing that energy to move through so that you can then create more space to fully be aware of everything, that's all the processes going on inside you. And when you are then become, when you create enough space to then become fully aware of these obstacles and work these obstacles out, I see actually in even in session, I see the opening up mm-hmm. and I see people just kind of falling into their, you know, getting these aha moments and just falling into this place of understanding of how they can now apply the karma yoga principles mm-hmm. in their work. You know, it comes once you've done that work, the cognitive aspect of understanding karma yoga, like intellectually, and then the experiential aspect mm-hmm. clicks. Mm-hmm. You want those two to come to a congruence and click. Otherwise, you all we do is we just read about it, you carry it cognitively, but you're not able to apply it. And so it's just working out those obstacles.
That's very powerful because we have this theory or these ideals of, mm-hmm. you know, doing our work without any expectation, without any fruit, without any attachment to the fruit. And yet what you said, we our fundamental humanness, that we are human and we have certain feelings and we're working through a lot of things from our past or from our childhood or whatever it is in which, you know, that is actually important to us, this thing of
yes.
being recognized. And then you're kind of turning it. And that's where you're bringing in this element of, can we look at ourselves truthfully? Can we look at ourselves compassionately? And that's part of, you know, you were talking about authenticity as part of your definition of Dharma. And yes. then the healing comes from kind of aligning those two things, the theoretical and the experiential, this idea yes. of, yes, this is a theoretical thing, but how do we actually go about life by actually filling that in ourselves? Yes. Yes. And do you find that when as people fill that in themselves, they don't need it so much from the exterior or they receive it more from the exterior? Do you see those kind of results?
A little bit of both. I mean, mm-hmm. to some extent, they are able to self-validate mm-hmm. And also have self-compassion. And to some extent, when, you know, they are able to receive compliments and internalize it, meaning, you know, accept it mm-hmm. rather than dismissing it as, oh, they're just being nice to me or, you know, they're just saying that and they don't really mean it, stuff like that. But most important is really helping clients to like be truthful to their own experiences in the moment. And being truthful to their emotions in the moment also without bypassing them, mm-hmm. without trying to kind of bypass in and transcend it. You want to go through it. You go through these experiences. And it's only when you embrace all of what is there in the moment with honesty, that's when you can really work with that and find that place of authenticity that you can then, that then helps you to practice the Karma Yoga principles, to put it into practice, to put it into active daily, in every task that you do, or in every venture that you go into, it becomes a part of you at that point. Mm-hmm. It becomes a way of being, a way of your being.
That's beautiful. I wanted to ask you one last question in this segment, which is, you know, when what's coming up for me here in terms of Dharma is when I think about duty or definitions of duty, their commitment to perform a certain way, they may arise from ethics or morality. Sometimes it's codified into law. But what I'm seeing here is that it's something that is arising internally. It's defined by something inside of us. Can you just comment on that? We have about a minute left in the segment.
Yeah, so this concept of duty is so deeply ingrained in us, like from childhood, right? It's your duty to do this. It's your duty as a student. It's your duty as a wife, as a mother, as this, as that. And, you know, there's some value to that because mm-hmm. that is how families work. It's how systems work. Everybody pitching in and doing their duty, taking responsibility. But sometimes what happens is when we go through life with others telling us what our duties are, without us aligning with it ourselves, we end up living a life defined by others' sense of who we are and who we should be. And, you know, as children, yes, parents shape them, mm-hmm. you know, parents kind of protect them and define for them. But at some point, the process of individuation, the process of growing up, differentiating from your parents, and that the process is finding that's what Dharma, to really Beautiful. Doing that in inner work to really have that dialogue, inner dialogue, but also the dialogue with people around you.
Perfect.
Also having a dialogue with your parents, with your, you know, teachers or bosses or whoever. And collectively, you know, it's a collective engagement of then establishing yourself in your Swadharma.
Beautiful. Thank you. We'll be right back for our next segment. Thank you for listening to Radio Dharma, presented by Hindu University of America. Stay tuned for part 2 of our program right after this break.